Let's start. Let's do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right now.
Hurry.
We're hurry.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast, episode 387.
Come on, man.
We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to be talking about Mother. Oh my God. Anyway, we'll be talking about that movie, American Assassin. We've got some earbuds and Podfest updates, and we're going to talk about some cool trailers like The Shape of Water and Downsizing. So. When are we going to start with earbuds? Let's start with some announcements.
So earbuds dropped last week, the 12th, and then I was on WTF with Mark Maron, which is really cool. It's been bouncing around like in the top 50 of iTunes.
Yeah, we want to thank you guys for the great reviews on iTunes. They've been really, really nice. Thanks so much. And just really long thought out, thoughtful reviews. We really appreciate it. I appreciate the 5-star ratings because all of that stuff helps. It helps it track in iTunes, and the fact that you're buying it there is great. Now, we did want to mention, though, that it should be up on other platforms. It hasn't quite made it there yet. It wouldn't be earbuds if there weren't some kind of technical delay or issue somewhere.
Like, we were assured all platforms on September 12th.
Yes.
Didn't happen.
So there's some technical issues with the distributor and the provider. So it will be on Amazon any day, any minute. And it's also slowly propagating through the cable and satellite TV channels as well. Like, even we got an email today saying that it might be up in some states and not in others, just because everything's separate.
I had a fan on Instagram send me a photo of them getting it on Amazon.
Right, and then I search, I can't find it.
You couldn't find it.
Yeah.
So it's on iTunes, we know that.
Right,
If you live in other countries, many of you in Australia or the UK or whatever have asked us, so it will be on iTunes in October. So that the international rollout is next month.
Right, so it's coming.
Provided.
Yeah, there are no other issues.
Provided, yeah. So,
and starting in early November, we'll be back on the CFN site as well, including the DVDs. And in fact, the DVDs will only be available at the CFN site.
Yeah, Comedy Dynamics was like,
they haven't made them yet.
Yeah, so are they going to make them?
They said, yeah, but not till like mid next year.
Right.
So, well, you know, we're the only place you could get the DVDs, well, the bonus features, and of course we sign them too.
Yeah. But it's cool. It's cool if you go to the iTunes rankings, because like there's a bunch of amazing documentaries like The Fog of War and Restrepo that we're ahead of.
Yes.
Which is like,
that's the important thing.
That's amazing. Like, it's really cool. So, you know, keep buying it on iTunes. Keep giving it positive reviews. Let's see if we can climb it up the charts a little bit.
Yes. It's also on, we know for sure it's on Google Play and also for pay on YouTube. But YouTube is basically is Google Play because it's the same company.
Right.
So when you buy it through YouTube, it's still going through Google Play. So if you have a Google Play app, you can buy it there as well.
It's been really cool, too. A lot of people have just posted online what, like, how the, you know, I think some people just found it through me being on Marin.
Right.
And so they're just like, well, this is awesome.
Right. And in fact, I think somebody found it on YouTube first. And there was a couple comments like, why isn't this on iOS? And then another fan responded, no, it's on iTunes. Here's the link. So you guys are helping each other in the comment section, too.
Thank
we appreciate that.
For helping people who wouldn't know how to Google the name of a thing.
So we really appreciate it. We appreciate you guys with the purchasing the film, obviously, and also giving it great reviews. Some really great reviews on iTunes. Please please keep it up. Thank you.
Yeah. And
And IMDb, too.
Yeah, IMDb is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then sharing the link on your social medias helps get it out there and keep it in the – because, you know, the more positive reviews and everything, then iTunes will – promoted, and we're trying to get it in the new and noteworthy through the iTunes folks and all that stuff. So.
And then it just tracks higher, then more people can discover it, the higher it tracks.
Yeah, that's what we want. We obviously, you guys have known about it. You've been on board since day one, but the thing we say in some of your reviews already is this is like for all of your friends and family that don't understand why you are listening to so many of these things. This is the we want people that don't understand the world of podcasting to see this film and have it be their sort of entry point into this bizarro land that we all live.
Mm-hmm.
And then LA Podfest, October 6th, 7th, and 8th. Go to lapodfest.com. We just added some shows, Doug Loves Movies, Never Not Funny. First ever live performance of Political Vigilante
nice.
Will be there. So it's at the Biltmore Hotel. And, you know, it's there's, you know, we're going to have that. They got this big, huge bar. So every night we're just going to, when the shows are over, going to
do some nice social parties.
Yeah, hanging out at the bar. And the opening night thing will be, you know, Friday. So it's cool. And the PodFest Pros thing is big. So,
yep, that's huge. We've got, you know, Dual Tracks, a program Saturday and Sunday. The lab is going to be open all day. So there's always something to do. You can go to a panel, go to a show, go to the lab, go to a party. There's always going to be fun stuff to do for all three nights, plus the preview night at the Improv Thursday night.
Oh, shit. So if you have a badge, you get that extra night. If you're in town on Thursday or you live in L.A., that extra night Thursday the 5th, you can see a bunch of shows that are at the Improv, the Hollywood Improv on Melrose.
It's the best deal in town, Graham.
It really is. Like, you're a fucking asshole if you don't jump on board with this.
Yeah. And this is an important year for us. This is a year that we really need to show a profit. So
if we don't,
really...
there's no more festivals. So hashtag save PodFest.
Yes,
we just started that.
we definitely need your support and help this year more than ever on PodFest.
Yeah, don't let the big corporations win.
Yeah, because they're trying to by losing money.
Yeah,
that's how they
can
win.
Afford to just lose shit tons of money.
Yeah, and not care.
Well, we're like, we didn't sell enough T-shirts.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did that. Like, some
no,
sort
that's
of...
exactly what it sounded like at the meeting.
Man. I did not sleep well last night. I'm gonna tell you guys ahead of time. I'm not gonna be great on this episode.
Punchy Graham. Punchy Graham on the episode.
Punchy Graham. I don't know, might make for good times.
Can I second that? Maybe I'll phone it in too. We'll see.
I didn't say phone it in. I just said. I'm going to give my best effort, and it's not what you're used to.
Yeah. I slept okay last night, but my mind is wandering, so who knows what could happen.
Wow. we're just ramping into a fucking sleep train.
Well, let's introduce our guest, first-time guest.
First-time guest. Mm-hmm. You've just heard her lovely voice. I worked with her at the Comedy Cafe in beautiful Milwaukee, Wisconsin,
yeah.
I want to say 3 years ago?
I think more than that.
Wasn't it 2014?
Maybe. I feel like it was like 4 years ago.
Because you were still living in Indianapolis.
I lived in Chicago.
Oh, you live in Chicago.
I mean, the Midwest is all one city and state.
Just one bar.
Chicago-apolis. and I lived there. And then I would just drive to other cities. And
that's what you do in the, because everything, I remember when I lived in Chicago as a young comic, there was, within a 5-6 hour drive was every gig.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, right. You can just hit, you can work.
It's like that and for Philly, like, for us too.
Yeah, the East Coast is the same way.
Yeah, it was Ohio, Virginia, any of that, New York, any of that stretch.
Yeah. I remember being like, I'm going to Peoria this weekend, and like my comic friends being like, wow.
You get to go to Peoria.
You made it. I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to perform at a comedy club next to a strip club across the street from a dirt bike track.
Oh.
And I made it.
And I'm going to stay in a hotel next to a riverboat casino.
Yeah. I was in Canada this weekend, and that's when you're like, ooh, international travel. Wow.
What was that like? Where were you in Canada?
I was in Edmonton, the Paris of Canada, and... I was at the largest mall in North America.
Wow.
It's bigger than the Mall of America.
No way. How dare you say that?
There's a pirate ship that I heard a wonderful story that there used to be a comedy show on it, but they would have to be like G because you could hear anywhere in the mall. So there's kids walking by. A comic was out of town doing the show, did a joke that everybody in the mall started booing him, and he jumped off the pirate ship into the water. And got a lifelong ban from the Edmonton Mall.
That should be at the top of that comic's resume.
Oh,
well deserved.
That is a gift.
Yeah.
That is the best thing you could ever achieve.
And it was a big, like, I'm talking like probably 3-story jump. Like a big jump.
Well,
good,
that's for
him. Oh, yeah, big boat. Big.
Don't you put that on special skills too?
Yeah,
underneath, jumping off pirate ships.
Pirate jumper. If that's on video, that better be front and center on this comic's YouTube channel.
The show got canceled after that, and I'm like, no, that's when you really ramp up promo. Right. You've got like a real show on your hands now.
Yeah.
Before it was just ha-has. Now we've got like, you could throw pyrotechnics in there.
You can't buy advertising like that.
Right. If a comic bombs, make them walk the plank. Like, this is like fun.
So what else have you been doing, Megan Gailey?
I've been just...
When did you move to L.A., by the way?
I moved to L.A. like a year and a half ago.
Okay.
From New York. So I took the longest way here. I lived in all three of the big comedy cities. And then finally, at the ripe age of 29, was like, yeah, I think it's L.A. time now. You know, this is when they want me. A woman on the decline. So I came on out and they said, nope, you look old.
Get on that goddamn pirate ship in Canada.
Yeah, exactly. So then now I work Canadian clubs. No, but I actually love it here. I have a pool. I'm very happy here.
Yeah.
It's a good...
You come from the Midwest or the East Coast, yeah, it is pretty spectacular when you get
Last night was my first earthquake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
3.6.
I did not know what was happening. Like, at first, I was like, huh.
I'm the only one in the family that felt it.
Really?
Kids were asleep. Wife just barely woke up. I was like...
I was like, wow, brushing my teeth and was like, huh, is that the neighbor slamming their door really hard?
Brushing your teeth? Oh, that's right. You don't have kids.
Yeah.
So you're up past 10.
I wasn't reading. I was watching Raw Housewives. I was reading something somewhere on my phone.
I was reading something very astute and educated, and it was Real Housewives fighting with each other.
Yeah, I thought like a truck drove by. And then, I mean, I have been truly terrified of an earthquake happening, mm-hmm, just because I don't know what it is. You know, I didn't know what to expect. And then once I realized what was happening, I was really, really freaked out.
So that made you feel even more scared?
Yeah.
When it happened?
Oh, I was terrified. And then when it ended, I was like, okay. And then everyone kept being like, oh, there'll be aftershocks. And I was like, no, I can't handle that. I just, this is too much. But then I felt kind of like brave. Like I survived, you know, some sort of tragedy.
Well, I would be remiss as a Red Cross disaster volunteer to not tell you and everybody out there listening, get a disaster kit.
Yes.
Okay.
Go to
one for the car, one for the home.
One for the car, one for the home. Go to redcross.org.
I'm guessing that's like a flashlight, bandages,
bottled water, canned food, snacks, dry goods, something you won't need to like,
and a radio.
Assume the internet.
They have kits that has everything on.
Okay. Yeah. So you can't just like recycle a Y2K one that you never used.
You could.
The food and water may not be as good.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
But if you had like a first aid kit and stuff like that?
I have a first aid kit.
Yeah. Get ready, Megan, because the big one's coming.
I know. When I realized what was happening, I was like, is this the big one? Is this the big one? Oof, boy. But it wasn't. It was a little baby one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It could be precursor.
I know. Nothing even fell off my walls.
I know. You got to get into the fives.
Okay.
Before
for like really
to shit to come off the walls.
Oof.
We're afraid of everything coming out of the cabinets. That's when the big shake happens.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's talk about some movies. Let's just jump into Mother.
Yeah, YouTube freaks saw this.
Oh my God! And you know what? Every once in a while, you see a movie and you're sorry you saw it.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah. And
you're not even happy you get to like feel that you can like talk about it with people?
It was one of those movies that, first of all, let's lay a little backstory on this movie. Darren Aronofsky is an auteur. He makes his own movies. They pretty much come from his id, whatever he wants to make. There's no noting a Darren Aronofsky.
He's like a Portlandia character.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we get it.
Yeah. Yeah, so
she's a swan, but she's a ballerina.
So when he makes a movie, you know exactly what he wanted to put in this film, made it into the film.
Yeah.
And some of the parts in this movie, I was like, why would anyone want to put that on film?
Could you imagine real quick if a studio executive were the ones that gave the notes for all the fucked up shit he puts in his movies, you know what I mean?
Like, you really need these scenes at the end that are really going to upset and horrify people. Now, this is, when I look into the trivia, the film received both boos and a standing ovation during its premiere at the Venice Film Festival. So this movie is unbelievably polarizing.
So people are either going to walk out and say, wow, what a vision, or that guy's out of his fucking gourd.
Right. Which is what he wants, too. Like,
what's
happening right now, he's like, it worked. Like, this is exactly going to whatever weird plan he had.
Right. And you know, this is like, you know, his... we see these movies with every once in a while with, like, Tree of Life, where you have, like, big stars in these avant-garde, weird, you know, allegorical movies. I mean, this is basically... doing Bible tales in this movie. Everything was allegorical to the Bible. You had like Javier Bardem was God, you know, Jennifer Lawrence was basically the earth mother, sort of.
And then had sort of like Mary parallels.
There was the two guests that come in. It was so weird. the two guests that came in were Adam and Eve. And, you know, Cain and Abel.
And their bad little sons.
Yeah. And so it's, but also there's no character, there's no plot. It's all just kind of goes from scene to scene. But the imagery gets more and more disturbing to the point where at the end I was like, I wish I didn't have these images in my head at this point. I don't want to spoil anything, but it was, at the end was horrifying.
There's one particular moment, and this is what is sort of like fun about this, because you know, just like Hunger Games, people are going to see this. They're like, oh, Jennifer Lawrence, great, I love her. And then that foreign man, okay, cool. And then they're like, what? Because like, we, you know, we live in LA, we our brains, I feel like, can like handle some sort of like, ah, that was too artistic. But like, if my parents went to see this, they would like cry blood, you know, like it's right? So scary. It's so bizarre. And like, there's a moment that occurs that I thankfully, when I get really afraid, I plug my ears. I plugged my ears, closed my eyes, and still, like, I know what happened, and it has, like, haunted me to my core. Like, it is very disturbing.
And wow. I know exactly what you're talking about because I saw it.
And it's towards the end. I went with a friend who I was opening for in Canada. We, like, went in Canada, and I kept going, I didn't think they'd have this movie out. Like, they're in some third world country. They got it the same day? Wow, good for them. Look at Trudeau getting movies up here.
Yeah.
And he was like, the sound is like, it. Like, there's like a sound that happens that, ugh, I can't imagine these Hunger Games fans watching this movie.
That I wouldn't want to watch the film. Because that's why I was like, I don't think I can see it. When you texted me, you're like, I saw Mother. I was like, okay, good. I'll go see it. I'll go see something else. Because that's the thing is I felt like I would, though, like to see a camera put on an audience of like Hunger Game fans watching their reaction to this going, ah! This isn't Silver Linings Playbook.
No.
No, it is not.
No, let's get a camera in every red state and just watch these people react. Because that's going to be the movie.
I'll tell you, the trailer, you know, it's not like it misrepresented the movie. The trailer was like, this is one fucked up movie, but the trailer never shows you how fucked up it actually gets.
I got, knowing Darren Aronofsky, went in the trailer when there was blood coming through the light bulb, I was like, okay.
Where is it going to go from here?
All right. If they're showing me that in the trailer, it's Aronofsky, it's weird, creepy, there's a bunch of people on the lawn with lights.
Yeah.
I'm out.
I think the trailer portrays it much more as a horror film than it ends up being.
Like it, the trailer was almost like a Guillermo del Toro movie.
Yes.
Remember, what was that movie? Aaron? The one that had the house.
Crazy House.
Crimson Peak
house
or something?
Peak.
Crimson
House Party.
Crimson Peak, where the house itself was a character in the movie.
Right.
And that's what it kind of started this way, but then it goes so off the rails towards
stressful.
The end.
I was like truly stressed.
I was telling Graham that. It was like, you know, I didn't enjoy the movie.
No.
Like, it was one of those movies where I'm like, I'm sorry I saw it. I just didn't, even if it's a bad movie or if it's a movie I don't, you know, I still don't, it felt like work. It really, watching this movie felt like work, and I felt like it was a day I should have called in sick.
I thought it was beautiful, though.
Up till the end, it was shot very well.
It was shot really there were, like, three. They did, like, over her shoulder, her perspective, and then, like, one other, and that was it. And it was on 16mm. Like, you know, it's obviously really artistically, beautifully done. You see her nipples a few times, and you don't need it. And it's like, okay, well, we get your dating, but, like,
They started dating to.
She has a sheer shirt on with guests there. I don't think so. You know, like, that really bothered. For some reason, every time I would see her nipples, I was like, why are they doing this to her?
You know, and Paramount canceled the upcoming Friday the 13th film in order to move ahead with this film, thinking, well, this one's more disturbing.
Oh.
So I don't know.
Is Friday the 13th not coming out now?
I'm not sure. It said that was one of the.
You look really sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Jamie Lee.
Darren Aronofsky wrote the first draft of the script in just 5 days. And, you know, when you don't need really story or plot, I'm sure it's a little quicker to write.
So what I'm hearing from you guys, so obviously, in terms of a Darren Aronofsky movie, his vision, the uniqueness of this film all was there. It's just so disturbing that it makes it hard to just, you can't just go, wow, that was really amazing.
As a fan of his work, and this is a very personal reaction on my part, I thought this movie went too far. Like I just and this is someone who, you know, I've loved his career. I really enjoy his movies, but this movie turned me off.
Wow.
Maybe
I'm a child and I kept like being like, we're putting up with so much. There's going to be okay. And there wasn't. Like I the credits started rolling. I was like, wait, is Javier Bardem the devil? Like I didn't.
Yeah.
I felt dumb. Like, and I'm Catholic. I'm Irish Catholic. Yeah. And I was like, who were the sons? Why were they there fighting? Well, yeah. Oh, there was a rib. Why was there like?
Yeah.
There
yeah.
was so much stuff that I like didn't catch.
Because it was all biblical references. You know, the one son.
Yeah.
You know, kills the other son. This is a small spoiler. Very small spoiler. It's very difficult to spoil this movie because there's not like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. It was literally just from scene to scene what's going on.
There were so many things that went unexplained that I've had to like do so much research afterwards that I'm like, what?
Now, like, now it's high school. Now it's homework.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what research did you do? What did you uncover?
The symbolism, probably. I did the same thing. I went to Wikipedia and these other sites and say, okay, was this what this meant?
What was the allegory like?
Now, this is one of the rare instances, too, where Aronofsky just did an interview and said, no, here's what everything means. And
but
pretty much.
You know what? He didn't say what one thing meant. And he like got asked about it because it was the thing that I kept, the yellow powder.
Yes.
He has like, he's like, oh, ask Jennifer about it. And it's like, well, did you just make something up? Like, why?
He's like, Jennifer, want to put some powder in it?
He said she has a better answer. And I'm like, well, what? Someone tell me what the yellow powder is because it's very.
Because whenever she would hallucinate or see things in the house and stuff, then she would go and take a shot of yellow powder mixed in water. Like, it was almost like a nerve tonic. This is the way it was kind of used. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, everything meant something else in the movie, so it had to mean something else. But yeah, that never quite got explained. But it's everything from Bible allegory to the cult of celebrity to, you know, just the way things
climate
are in the
change.
World right now, climate change, like just the way, you know, Jennifer Lawrence.
It's a wide.
It's a lot.
It's a shotgun approach to many different things.
And so that.
Leading up to a horrifying climax.
Okay. So this is actually the fourth movie he shot on 16mm. Visually,
it looks really good. And mm-hmm. it's another thing that he just does really well. You know, when he fills a frame, he creates mood and tension mm-hmm. and everything from The Wrestler to Pi, you know, his first movie. He's just really great at filling a frame and shooting everything to evoke an emotion or a feeling. Mm-hmm. And this was no exception. Black Swan, too. Black Swan was also beautifully shot.
Yes.
So this movie, the other thing about this movie was that the actual performances were excellent.
Yeah, Michelle Pfeiffer was
She was fantastic.
Incredible.
Yeah, and Javier Bardem, Jennifer Lawrence, and even Ed Harris, you know, they all did a fantastic job acting. It's just the whole together
I mean, that's one of his strengths. I mean, obviously, the casting of it is a big part of the director's job. But everyone
wanted to work with him.
Yeah,
that's
everyone
how
wants
he
to
got
work
that
with him.
Cast.
And I feel like too, he really knows how to direct actors, mm-hmm. especially
For
when
sure.
he's got some crazy shit going down
yeah.
like
yes.
he usually has. Mm-hmm. Like The Wrestler was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it was grounded, which is unusual for one of his movies. Even like the movie like The Fountain, remember that movie?
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, all over the place too, but visually it was just so interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Did he do Noah's Ark as well?
He did Noah.
I believe he did Noah.
Yeah, the movie Noah, that did came out in 2014. That was
and
with
So that was before this.
That was
so
Russell Crowe, right?
Yeah.
And it like bombed.
So weird is, for an atheist, he's doing a lot of biblical and Catholic movies.
I think he's like fascinated by
the religion, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
And
Noah,
generally, if you have a movie like Noah, probably don't want an atheist directing it.
Well, to talk about the bomb, it had a $125 million budget.
Ooh.
And it did $100 million.
He lost 25 mil.
Lost 25 mil. I'm sure it's eventually made it back, but like that was his first sort of big budget action-y thing.
And isn't it an odd choice? Like, you know, you're like, well, we're doing a big budget, you know, biblical epic. Get me Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's odd.
If you look at his filmography, it is really. I mean, I guess I give him credit, but I mean, like you look at Pi, you look at Requiem for a Dream, mm-hmm. you look at the Wrestler, Black Swan, Noah. Really, like there's
all over the map.
All over the map, which is cool. I dig it when directors are allowed to do that thing. And as we talked about last week with Dave Anthony, you know, Dave made the point of like he is a unique director that should be, you know, I guess I'm, even though I didn't see it, I'm glad this movie's made in terms of what we're dealing with from Hollywood and the one blockbuster after another and a lot of movies that aren't that great, so that this guy's allowed to make these kind of out there crazy films.
I would agree with that 99% of the time. This is the 1% of the time a Paramount executive should have said no.
I wonder if it will end up being nominated for, like, at least the performances, you know?
It's entirely possible.
I could see Michelle Pfeiffer getting a Best Supporting Actress nomination.
I say that tongue-in-cheek, but a movie like this getting made with a director and a writer-director shooting their own film, I'm still a big supporter of that.
Right.
This one just did not work for me.
It'll be interesting to see because, like, it sounds like even the two of you were a little split on it, but also like not as severe as the reaction at the Venice Film Festival.
Right.
I wonder how like Hollywood and the Academy are they going to split down the line on this?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Academy voters definitely like honor performance though.
Right. Yes. Right.
And I also feel like the cinematography was beautiful. Like there's components of it that you're like, I could see that being the best of the year.
It may also do well at Golden Globes because Hollywood Foreign Press loves these actors and loves these good performances. So
and they like the Foreign Press loves crazy out there shit too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, right. So
and Jennifer Lawrence is great in it.
She is. There's
feel for her in a way that I've like never. I've never wanted to like shake someone.
Yeah, she's such a solid actress, and that I know exactly what you're
it's
talking
a
about.
Shakeable performance.
I want to like grab her by the shoulders and be like, you know, like what are you doing?
Because her character, as the movie begins, is like she feels basically helpless. Like, well, what? You didn't even ask. What are you doing? Like in this marriage that she seems to have no say in.
Right.
Which is, you know, the allegory for like the earth and what we're doing to it. And so there's all that as well.
Or just like a bad husband.
Or a bad husband too. Yeah.
Or just like kind of like a dick.
Don't marry a dick.
So. Don't marry a writer. Yeah. Don't marry a dick. Those were my takeaways.
So, and he was a poet too.
Yes. I forgot he was a poet.
He was a poet. With writer's block at the beginning.
Gosh.
So anyway, this is the kind of movie that it's going to split
your
right.
How can a poet afford a house that big? That's my question.
Well, it was a fixer-upper.
Oh, all right. Okay.
That,
well, also, like, did they build it?
Yeah.
There's, like, weird – there's definitely strange, like, where's the driveway? They kept being, like – at one point, they, like, get in a car, and I'm like, where? Where is the car?
And then
– I've seen no cars.
And then there was like Crimson Peak moments where like oh this blood just outlined a secret door, you know, things like that. So,
all right, that's doable.
I'll tell you, I'm curious to see what you guys think of this movie because it's one of those movies that you're gonna nobody's gonna see this movie going, no, it was okay, you know, it's really you're gonna go one way or the other on it. It's really
did you see it,
polarizing.
Aaron?
No.
I
didn't like the trailer. I mean, the trailer didn't sell me on this movie at all. I was just like, well, maybe I'll catch that at some point, but I have no desire.
At one point, there was probably, we saw it Friday afternoon, like the day it came out. There were probably 15 people in a big, big theater. And we were sitting second to last row. And at one point during a very disturbing point in the movie, which is about 75% of the movie, I like heard a noise and I turned and the man in the back row behind us was standing up. And so then for the rest of the movie, I was like, is he going to kill me? Like I was also going through a lot of environmental stress. And he like saw me seeing him stand and then like cracked his knuckles and sat down. And I was like, what is happening? Yeah. So I don't know what he was going through.
That might have been Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah.
So you're saying people in the theater might just be losing their shit.
Yes.
Just like what's happening on screen.
This is not a good snacks movie.
Right.
If you get snacks, eat them in the first 20 minutes. Because you are not, you are not going to want to eat anything.
No.
All right. Snack early. Hashtag
yes.
Snack early.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's move
on.
So
let's do a palate cleanser and talk about American Assassin. Something I'm sure I'm just going to go. I haven't seen this movie, but I'm just going to say maybe less disturbing.
It is so. Yeah, there's one. It's funny. There's one. You talk about Megan, the cover your ears and eyes. Mm-hmm. There was one scene where there's someone who's being tortured for information, and I was like, like I can't. There's a certain type of torture. Well, it's used, and I was like, nope, I don't want to see that.
It was torture watching the torture.
Yeah, so I had to cover, and then like
duck and cover,
and then like slowly blink my eyes, and then would open my ears just a little, and okay, they're in a different scene.
You did that at the Emoji Movie too.
I did that absolutely at the Emoji Movie. Different reasons. But this kid Dylan O'Brien, who plays the part of Mitch Rapp, this is the series of books that this is based on. They're hoping that
it's a lot of books, 15 novels.
15?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're hoping that this becomes like a whatever, a Patriot Games, a Jack Reacher, whatever you want to call it. Like they're going to shoot a bunch of these. This guy, Mitch Rapp, who I give the kid credit. Like I wouldn't have cast him. I would have been like, oh, he's just one of these young pretty boys. He can't really pull this off. He did a really good job of a guy. This is all from the trailer. You know, beautiful girlfriend proposes to her. Bam, she's killed by terrorists.
Oh gosh!
And then he goes nuts and like wants
probably didn't see that coming.
No, and then wants to fight them. So he does a very good job of becoming this obsessed, crazy dude that's like, you know, out of control with wanting revenge.
Okay.
Now, it's interesting. This is actually the 11th book in the series, but the first book in chronological order because the books seem to skip around into different parts of his life.
Okay. Yeah, and I think it's all about this special secret counterterrorism group that's headed by Michael Keaton. I'm telling you.
Not Kiefer Sutherland.
Not Kiefer Sutherland. literally, you look at this trailer, you look at the movie poster, and you're like, this wasn't Kevin Costner wasn't available to where's Kevin Costner? And then some young kid that you're like, huh,
somebody from Twilight,
yeah, somebody like that, you're like, okay, great, this kid can't look tough, you know, he's like a puppy that snarls like aw. But Michael Keaton is fantastic, and it's what makes this movie, like, it should be a dumb sort of by the numbers, it falls apart in the second half. It mm-hmm. should be, like, it should be that, but it actually is okay.
Wow.
And there's some stuff in it where you're just like, wait a minute, why is he, wouldn't they, you know, like, there's a couple of those, but not glaring. I was pretty entertained. I mean, it is what it is. You're not. There's no like, wait a minute, I didn't, it's a spy, terrorist, mm-hmm. you know, born.
There's no academy discussion we need to do about this
No academy discussion, nor is it like so dumb that you're like, ugh. I don't know, it was pretty interesting, and I think Michael Keaton's approach, the guy that he's playing, it's why he's just this second half of his career.
Now, is he the mentor in the movie?
He's like the boss.
He's the boss. I mentor. The boss. Okay. He's a real hard ass, and it's Michael Keaton. Like this second half of his career is getting so interesting. Mm-hmm. You put him like put this character next to the guy that he was in the most recent Spider-Man movie.
Right.
It's so cool, you know. And he's doing such an amazing job, and I think actors that have been around a long time, when they really figure this out, of how powerful it is to be understated as an actor. I think young actors, you know, you're in acting class. I remember being in acting class, big emotion, and you know, and I'm crying. And he's just like, says these little things like he did in Spotlight. The character he was in Spotlight was so like, oh my God.
And in Birdman. I feel like in Birdman, they like talk about that. Like he's like subdued, and then Edward Norton comes in and is like, wild and crazy, and it's like, oh, you're even like seeing him sort of address the actor he wants to become while he's acting.
Yeah, and also it's kind of a Edward Norton has had a reputation being difficult on set because he's like actor. I need to be actor. you know, so it's like you watch Michael Keaton, and also when you've got a young actor that's playing opposite somebody that's this strong, it can do one of two things. Make the young actor look, boy, wow, mm-hmm. do you not look good? Or elevate the actor. This kid really, I mean, and it's credit to this guy. And the supporting cast, the woman that plays the head, I'm going to look it up real quick, but the woman that plays the head CIA person that's sort of fighting for the kid, I'm going to bring her up in a second, the actress, where is it?
I mean, when you get cast to play hot girlfriend, you know you're leaving in the first 5 minutes, right? Like, you're like, oh, well, okay, I'm hot girlfriend. I'm hot dead girlfriend again.
Or wife of an ex-Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you're, ooh, I'm in trouble.
I'm dead. Yeah. But Sanaa Lathan plays the CIA op, and she's really solid. I mean, like, there's all these... They go into two, and then Taylor Kitsch plays a rogue operative.
Who's a werewolf.
Sure. If that's what you want to believe, Chris, yes, there's a werewolf in here. But Taylor Kitsch plays a rogue operative, and without giving it away, his character's motivation is like, oh, wow. It's one of those things that they do in terms of, you know, America's, we're the good guys, we're the good guys. And there's someone going, are we? Mm. Are we really the good guys?
But you know? He's the bad guy?
Yeah, but...
Oh, gosh.
But it's sort of like... it sort of shows the how convoluted, like, America's role in international terrorism and politics. It's not as clear-cut as there's bad guys out there. Yeah. It's like, oh, no, we want oil and we create terrorists. Yeah.
What's... now, how is the action in the movie?
There's good action. There's good... Mm-hmm. They do... they do a lot of sort of MMA style fight scenes, you know, a lot of like getting guys on the ground and
trapping out.
A lot. Yeah, there is some of that. I thought the action in it was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And it's not too, like, that's the problem with these movies is you just go from one 10, 15 minute car chase to a 15 minute fight scene to it running across a roof. Like, if those, that just gets exhausting for me. This had enough plot and story. There's a couple times where the Mitch Rapp character is just like, I'm going to do it my way. And it's like, no, come on.
And I'm going to get results.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. But I don't know. It's interesting. And I feel like I probably will watch the next one. Like,
oh.
You know, like, this is a movie. If I was looking for something to do, I wanted a distraction. I wanted some escapism. And I got it.
It's a plane movie.
It's a plane or road movie.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you've been in the same city for it's the third or fourth day and you're like, I got to get out of the hotel.
I'm very happy this movie came out different weekends than The Kingsman because I was getting them. I kept going, and now is this the fun one or the mean one? Are they having fun? Are they like wacky or are they mad? Because I like couldn't. I remember like seeing, of course, during like an NFL game, they had both previews and I was like, is that the same movie? One, they
Which
seem smiling
Cowboys
and silly.
Yeah.
And they're different movies and actually different countries as well, I've learned.
Yeah.
But to the naked female eye, just trying to enjoy a Colts loss, it is very confusing.
So, yeah, that's what I think. If you were like, don't want to be tormented for the rest of your life by Mother, then go see American Assassin.
Yeah. I think you'd be better off. Now, it's interesting, too. Established actors like Gerard Butler, Colin Farrell, and Matthew Fox were considered for playing the lead role, Mitch Rapp. But what they were trying to do now is just to kind of have this actor grow into the role by starting at kind of like the beginning of his story.
Well, the other thing, too, like Bruce Willis was attached to play the mentor. And there's an example of if it was Bruce Willis, I would have been like, nope. You know, because he would have just Bruce Willis'd it up.
That's what I assumed.
That's what he does.
Sometimes I get him. I like just assume he's in it. Right. Like when you said Michael Keaton, I was like, oh, that's right. It wasn't Bruce Willis.
Yeah, you automatically, this script would come across someone's desk and go, oh, Kevin Costner, Bruce Willis. Great.
Yeah, and it's that Bruce Willis is one of those actors, too. You know, when you hire Bruce Willis, you're going to get Bruce Willis.
You're getting Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton, you're getting an amazing actor.
Who might do something different or interesting.
Bruce Willis.
You get Bruce Willis.
You get Bruce Willis. In certain parts, it's great.
Yeah, it's fun.
You're great. You put Bruce Willis in the right thing, it's great. With Michael Keaton, you're getting a fine actor doing amazing stuff. So,
all right.
Oh.
So let's ads we got.
Come on.
We have a new sponsor today.
Oh, snap.
Bombfell. Bombfell. So, Graham, tell me about your experience.
I'll tell you
Bombfell.
What Bombfell is, Chris. Mm-hmm. It's an easier way for men to get better clothes. You go through. You.
I'm intrigued.
It's very intriguing. It's very simple. You complete a questionnaire, and
your wife completes a questionnaire.
If I was married, yeah. It's actually though. I think it is. It is good for the single guy. That's like, what do I? I don't know. So you go and sort of complete it. And you say, you know, they give you sort of real, it's real basic. Like, I like looking like this or like that. Or what do you want this for? Job interview,
right?
Going out, first date.
You like clown pants.
You like clown pants. Sure. Are you a werewolf?
Yes.
Whatever your thing is. And then they send you some stuff. It came pretty quickly. And they gave me like a long sleeve... not a sweater, but just like a nice kind of
pullover.
Like a thermal?
Not a thermal, but like in between sweater.
I mean, this is why you needed that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what I wanted.
It was cloth. It was, yeah. And it had sleeves.
And you wore it on your torso.
Yes. Fair enough.
So I got that, a pair of jeans, and then like a short sleeve, like collared shirt. And the thing I liked about it too was so. They come in, they're like, you got like a week to try it on. If you don't like something or it doesn't fit, you send it back. The jeans, I liked them. They were a little loose, but they're like, you know, and I was like, I'll just keep them.
They could be karate pants.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I need to, yeah. I like a tight slack. Yeah, I kept the jeans, but the shirt, it was too short. It was too tight. So I sent it back. And the return process was really easy. They give you a thing. You don't have to pay anything. Like, they give you a return label, so you just put it in the bag, send it back. You fill out a quick thing online saying why you didn't like it. It was too this. I didn't like the color. I didn't like the size or whatever. And do you have it in my size? And it was a real cool, easy process. I liked the clothes, and you know, I got a new pair of slacks and a long sleeve, you know, shirt thing.
Thanks.
How are we going to help our fans out to use this service?
Oh, Chris, we're not going to let them pay full price. I'll tell that right now.
No way.
No, it would be ridiculous. $25 off your first purchase.
Nice.
Right? Visit bombfell.com/CFN. So you got to just use that, bombfell.com/CFN, to get the $25 out. And it's bombfell.com. And
/CFN. It's yeah. That's the landing page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a bomb fill. Opened and clothes.
Nice.
You like that tagline?
Yeah.
Did you write that? Bomb fill.
Open and clothes. No, there's some marketing guy just doing backflips that he got. Yes.
Yeah. It's
just like, that's fantastic.
He wrote that and was like, threw his pen. Yeah. Nail it. Yeah.
Day's over. Punching out. Yeah. Half day for Mike.
Yeah. Mic drop.
So yeah, go to bombfell.com/CFN and save yourself $25 and get yourself clothed up, you know, get yourself looking nice and pretty.
Get something for your torso.
Fancy up your torso. Fellas, you know what I mean? You got a first date, you want to impress somebody, fancy up your torso. Mm-hmm.
So, and the other ad we have is our Patreon ad, Frightfully Uninformed, a podcast that watches mostly classic horror movies to figure out horror movie fandom. frightfullyuninformed.com. And like we said, we really appreciate you guys supporting the Patreon. It is a lifeblood for us as a podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, the ads are great, but Patreon really is it's critical for us. So like we said, you know, you start to get some really great content at $5. $10, you get the bonus episode. So maybe we'll do an extra bonus episode.
Oh, how about that?
We slid in
some extra ones last month and everything else like that. We're recording the one with Neil.
Did you finish Defenders?
Yes.
Maybe we'll talk about our wrap-up of Defenders.
Oh, I'd do that.
Yeah, all right.
I could talk the shit out of Defenders.
All right, then we'll do that.
Sons of bitches. I don't know why it made me mad.
Defenders Part 2. We'll do that for the Patreon subscribers.
Yeah, guys, so go to patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds to support the show.
Please do. Like, even if it's
and do it with a new fancy torso shirt.
Do it. Do it. You know, get your torso fancied up.
Get your torso wrapped.
And participate at the $5 or $10 tier.
How about that?
Definitely help. So trailers, The Shape of Water.
What?
Now, we just saw this trailer.
It's a different one because we saw this trailer a while ago.
Yeah, this is a different trailer.
This one is
a different one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's more Michael Shannon heavy. It's more like he's the bad guy. Which is good.
Yeah, searching for the Fishman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now
we're searching for Bobby Fishman.
Yeah. Nice, Aaron. So one of the there's two theories that are around the internets right now. That one of them
it's this a is real this fish
is
a, guy.
That's a, one of them is a real fish guy. One of them is a Hellboy prequel, which I think it is because this character Abe Sapien is has this exact same backstory where he was in, you know, this time he was, you know, captured. He was in a tank. He was a man in Victorian times that turned into this fish man and had this backstory. And it's also Guillermo del Toro, who also did Hellboy 1 and 2. So I really think it's a kind of a stealthy prequel.
I mean, not so stealthy.
His email is literally Abe Sapien.
Yeah. Yeah. Seems like they're not really hiding it that well.
Yeah.
And was there a deaf woman in this man's past, too?
And then the other theory is that it's a Creature from the Black Lagoon prequel, which I'm not as sold on. I really, because it just, even the way it's shot has like a Hellboy feel, the way Guillermo del Toro shot Hellboy. It feels that way. The other thing that could have happened, too, is that like, well, we couldn't get the rights to the Abe Sapien background story. We're still going to make the movie anyway and change the Fishman's name.
Okay. I mean, the character, especially in this trailer, we see more of the Fishman character from the first one. My first thought was, oh, it is a creature from the Black Lagoon. Mm-hmm. But why would we
have it as an experimental government weapon?
And why would we even go into that? Like, the Hellboy theory makes more sense to me, at least.
And also, too, it's, you know, they have the Bureau of Paranormal Research and Defense that gets created in the Hellboy universe. So this will be one of the things that would help create it, is they found a fish man.
Megan, what did you think when you saw this trailer?
My main takeaway from this was, why is Octavia Spencer just working for the government now? You know, why can't she get out? Why is she just pushing carts, crunching numbers, helping astronauts, helping fishmen? Like, Octavia, you deserve to not be a government employee.
Yeah,
you know?
You deserve a nice office with a window, and you don't have to push
carts. And I want that for her. It's not fair, and I'm not happy. And she does it really well, but
she could run a bakery. Yeah. She could do so many things.
I don't want her
design.
As a maid anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with it.
Well, you know, it's also interesting when you mention Octavia Spencer and you have Michael Shannon. You have a solid list of actors in this movie that elevate a genre picture to higher than it normally would be. Like, if this was just about a fish man and just a bunch of, like, you know, unknown actors, you'd be like, well, this is just, you know,
Richard
a schlocky kind of
it?
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not. It's really – it's being shot like a – like a drama with a fish man in it.
Now, are the fish man and the lady intimate? That
we are.
There's just
we're
cuddling.
We're getting that inclination.
Okay,
it's definitely being implied from the trailers.
I do like when she started to spell out "fuck you." That
right.
was fun.
Yeah,
that was like a fun.
Well, that actress.
What's she saying? What's she saying?
Sally Hawkins.
Who's great?
She's great. In the trailer, I was like, I'm intrigued to see just her. And how she interacts with everybody, especially the creature. Like,
right.
This trailer, even more so than the first one, shows like her relationship with the fishman creature.
Yeah.
So it looks like you said, with all of these solid actors around this character, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
A lot of rain too. It was a lot of rain.
It's gonna be a lot of wet sets.
Yes, it was a lot of water happening. And as an LA resident, I like that. I go, oh yeah, rain exists. That's
yes.
I forgot about that. I actually saw that preview, and the next preview before Mother. So I'm getting a little PTSD. I'm like, oh, they didn't show these when you saw it? You had different trailers?
For Mother?
No, we didn't.
Wow, interesting. I feel like they always show, maybe it was because I was
traveling
international.
Mm. Yeah.
So they show different things up north.
So when you were watching this trailer, you just heard somebody crack their knuckles and stand behind you.
Yeah,
and you
I was like, oh no. I felt someone dive off a pirate ship and I was transported back north.
Well, then let's talk about Downsizing.
Yes, this is the Matt Damon movie. Now, Alexander Payne, I'm a big fan of as well. You know, his movies are always interesting and unique. Now, this is an interesting concept where, you know, okay, we are getting overpopulated as a species. That is true. Mm-hmm. So then if we shrink everybody, then all of a sudden everyone has more room. And I like the world that this is creating. Like, well, if we shrink you, whatever money you have then just gets exponentially increased because, you know, we're building dollhouses for you. So I just felt like there's a really cool attention to detail. Like when you create a world like this, you have to have an attention to detail. Like, well, how does it work? How does the economy work? What is the process? What are the consequences? And I think all those things from the trailer were really thought about in an interesting way and presented. So I'm excited to see this movie. I think it looked good.
I mean, yeah, it's the guy, like, he's Citizen Ruth, Election, About Schmidt, Sideways, The Descendants. like
solid,
really
solid,
really amazing
movies.
So when I see this.
And well-acted and well-directed.
Well-acted, well-directed. And again, they all have very specific. Now, this seems like more broad comedy than he's used to doing. But, like, I'll trust him because of all the other stuff he's done.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
So I auditioned for this movie.
Oh, that's right.
So I hope it fails miserably. I actually auditioned. I saw both parts I auditioned for. I auditioned for two different parts in the movie. I got neither of them. But I don't know. It, like, so I've heard, I don't think this is a secret, but I've heard Kristen Wiig does not end up downsizing herself.
Oh, really?
Okay, sorry. Did I just ruin the whole movie?
No, you never saw it in the trailer.
That's floating around on the internet. Oh, and it's sort of, I'd seen the trailer, and now that I'd heard that theory, now seeing it again, I go, oh, she didn't, because she's not in any of, when Matt Damon is little, is that what we're calling it? What do we call this fake thing?
Yes.
He's little now. So when he gets richer and littler, she isn't in the house with him. When they show him signing papers, apparently those are divorce papers. So I actually, when I first saw the trailer, I was like, I'm not into this at all. Just, it like looked, I don't know. It, like, I saw Click recently and I was like, what's happened? And obviously it's not the same as Click, but it like, just these like worlds that like, it seemed like too wild to me. But now that I know there's a divorce happening, I'm into it. I'm like, okay, all right. I like that she's not there and, you know, he's trying to date as a tiny man. That I'm into.
Have you gone through a divorce?
No. No.
Just really
Just really want to see how it plays out. Like, do they get in a fight and she's huge and he's little?
And she just kicks him?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Mm. She's yelling at him and it like knocks him over. You know, does Jason Sudeikis like climb on his shoulders and they like whack her ankle?
I'm curious to see this because obviously like we said, I like Alexander Payne, but it's at least the way this trailer is cut, it is presented as like wacky comedy, but it starts out, the premise is the world is overpopulated,
right?
And this is how we're dealing with it. So it sounds like
this is satire.
Yeah, this is the strong satire and also, mm-hmm. you know, dealing with some social commentary because this planet does have 7.5 billion people.
There'll
on
be
it,
that in there for sure.
You know, and so, yeah, I like all these characters, and I'm really interesting to see how it shakes out.
Some fun cameos too. I think Bridget Everett was the nurse that woke them up after they were. I was like, oh, that's exciting, and I like the lady that was on the train. I think he. I know why I didn't get the parts. You know, okay, yeah, so I see what you've done here. Nicely done, Alex. Congrats.
So, coming out on DVD and Blu-ray, Wonder Woman and the Big Sick.
Two movies I highly recommend. You know, Wonder Woman, as we talked about, we did a spoiler ep on it. So if you are just now seeing Wonder Woman here, we released a spoiler ep when it came out, whatever, in July.
Go check it out.
It's a fun film and it's really cool for the genre of superhero movies and all of the stuff that it does in terms of, did you see Wonder Woman?
Girl power. I mean, I'm a bad feminist. I haven't, but I'm going to. The next time I'm on a flight, I'm going to. It's hard. Like, I saw Ghostbusters the weekend it came out. I've already bought Hillary's book. Listen, I don't have enough money to be the feminist I need to be. It's expensive. I got to buy special clothes, you know. I got to have all the gear. But I'm going to see. I hear it's fantastic.
Well, check some boxes on Bombfell. You know.
I'll get some Bombfell, be dressed as a man, and then go see Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Big Sick too. Like
you were saying, it's a really
it's a really cool movie, and you know, knowing Kumail and Emily, like, seeing this story, it is very heartfelt because it's based in so much of their actual relationship, and it's really cool to see, like, you know, comics make an indie film that then blows up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That had a limited release and was through Amazon and all this stuff, and now is doing really well, so.
I auditioned for that as well. You guys could do a whole episode of movies I've never been cast in.
It was actually one of Amazon's biggest acquisitions. They spent millions on it.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amazon, when Amazon picked it up.
And then it had, like, the highest Rotten Tomatoes score of the summer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Yeah. Solid movie.
They're great.
So, okay, so we want to talk about the site. We did mention that, you know, there are some Amazon and cable issues with the earbuds. We mentioned that at the beginning of the site. I wanted to give you guys an update on the actual website. We're still working on the message boards. They're still broken. Brian Wolfman is working on it. He's looking into a solution right now, but they will be up and running as soon as we can get those issues resolved. And in the meantime, the Neil and CJ have been posting some great articles. The Weekly Film News, and CJ did a long and in-depth review of Mother. He enjoyed it a lot more than we did.
Okay.
He wasn't as disturbed by it.
Wow. I'm disturbed by him.
Yes. So
he's in Australia. Things are different.
Yeah, things,
are,
things go backwards over there. Yeah. So.
Oh, I bet those freaks loved it.
Fan feedback on the Facebook page, the Comedy Film Nerds Facebook page. We did explain a film badly, and it was like it was episode one. A priest kidnaps a child for cult and eventual marriage to a politician twice his age, which was fantastic. And then so you guys started posting some. Kurt. Armbruster said, history/archaeology professor goes on adventure around the world, leaving a trail of bodies, friend and foe, in his wake. Nazis would have died anyways had he done nothing. Thank you so much, Kurt, for that. Yeah, we appreciate all your comments on the Facebooks and the YouTube comments as well.
All right, coming out this week. Now this is a good. We're starting
good
to pick. We're starting to pick up again for new releases. Yeah. We had a kind of a dead few weeks
because but it's like now, back to school.
Yeah,
it's a weird, like, you know, there was it was unusual that, like, Labor Day didn't have any giant.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Release.
Late August into Labor Day, there was no big releases.
No,
it was odd.
I wonder if something was supposed to come out and it got messed up. I love that.
Could be.
Like,
could
it's a Halloween Christmas movie now.
Yeah.
Did you audition for that?
I couldn't get in to see that one.
So premiering this week, Kingsman: The Golden Circle.
This is the fun one.
Yeah,
Megan,
the fun one. Yes. I'm going to see it. They're laughing.
And the Lego Ninjago movie. Now, this is, again, you know, the Lego movies haven't stopped. But, you know, honestly, the Batman movie was remarkably similar to the Lego movie. They're still Lego movies.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of different things that are going to happen with them. But, you know, my kids want to see it, so I'm sure I'll be seeing it this weekend.
The trailer is very funny.
Yeah. So, and then Battle of the Sexes. This is the Billie Jean King movie.
Yes.
This one looks good, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
With Steve Carell looks fantastic in it.
And
so
Emma,
does Emma
Stone. And it's, you know, I've watched some sort of... Might be ESPN 30 for 30, something like that, like actual sort of documentaries about this event and how big of a deal this was. Oh, I remember what I watched. I watched this. There's a, I think it's a 30 for 30 on ESPN called Branded, talking about how female athletes first came into getting big endorsement deals. And it was this. It was this tennis, like Billie Jean King was the first one to kind of get them after this. So, I like these two actors. This is a pretty big moment in American history and the women's movement and everything like that, and for sports and for marketing and all that stuff. So I'm excited to see. And I feel like this might be worse. This is our first sort of, they have Oscar hopes for this film. They're releasing in late September. That's my feel
for
this.
Could be a little Oscar buzz.
Stephen Carell, man. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Foxcatcher and
The
Big Short.
He's
the guy. So
I love tennis. Tennis is my favorite sport.
Really?
Yeah, I love watching it, playing it. It's great.
Did you play when you were younger?
I played my whole life.
Really?
Yeah, that's why my voice sounds like this.
From screaming.
Just from being mean and white.
those are the requirements to be a tennis player. You got to be mean and white
and like have a skirt.
Yeah.
But I love Billie Jean King. She's done so much for female sports, probably more in for American female athletes than maybe anyone.
Stemming out of this event.
Yeah.
You know, which is why it's another great reason to see this film, because it's really, and to get the behind the scenes. And I think Steve Carell is going to play a great dick.
Yeah.
You know,
he's
going to play a great asshole.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
It'll be fun. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I believe that's our show,
that
ladies
is our
and gentlemen.
Show. We
387.
Went all
the way through. Lock mm-hmm. it up. Megan Gailey, where can people find you on the internet? Tour dates? What do you got going on?
I am on the road for the next like 2.5 months. I'm opening for Anthony Jeselnik.
Oh, nice.
I will be with him. We're in Oxnard, California, at Levity Live this weekend. And then lots of fun. Houston, San Jose, Bloomington, Lexington, going all over. So you can go to my website, megangailey.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
And your Twitter and Instagram is all on there as well.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Okay. Cool.
Very cool. Well, I wanted to mention that the new episode of Conversations from the Abyss has dropped, called Predators, about a serial killer who talks about compatibility with his victim. And Aaron listened to it, and he said, "I'll never look at Bill Dwyer the same way again." So it stars Bill Dwyer and Annie Savage from Thrilling Adventure Hour.
Cool. I just put out some new, I got some new tour dates. October 10th, I'll be at the Punchline in San Francisco for one show only. October 11th, I'll be at Helium in St. Louis.
Go Cards.
Aaron will be watching the Cubs in the playoffs at that point. And
unfortunately.
And then October 12th through 14th, I'm at the Zanies in St. Charles, which is out in the west suburbs of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. In a barn.
In a barn.
Like a barn.
It is a barn. It's a great barn gig.
Pheasant Run?
Pheasant Run,
yeah,
Resort.
Yeah, I've been there.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I worked with Ramon Rivas, who was on this show.
My good friend, too.
Yeah, Ramon's awesome. So I just redid my website, the person who was handling it is no longer there, and so it went down, and my good friend Marcia Neumeier, a.k.a. Sparky Pop, redid my site. So if you go to grahamelwood.com, you get all my tour dates that are there. I'm going to be doing more of those. And also Political Vigilante. Listen and watch that on the YouTube and on iTunes. I've released it as a podcast now. And check that out.
Check it out. And if you go to Conversations from the Abyss and Political Vigilante, you can see, like, listeners also listen to. They're both first on each one. So.
thank you,
so
Comedy
you
Film Nerds fans.
So you can tell you guys are the ones listening the most, so we appreciate that.
All right. Thank you so much to Aaron Brungardt on the ones and twos. Everybody here at All Things Comedy, and thanks again, Megan Gailey, for coming
thank
over
you
here.
Boys.
My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember,
Han shot first.